All righty. It is Thursday, January 29th. Welcome back to Damon Bruce Plus. Welcome back to the Damon Bruce Show. My name's Damon. It's really good to have you here. Thanks so much. If you want to just tap in, hit that like and subscribe button early on. It's just going to bring more people to today's show. We got something interesting to talk about here at the top of today's show. A little family-friendly fire from Eddie DiBartolo to his sister to his nephew the week that Levi Stadium is hosting a Super Bowl. Oh, my goodness. We got red carpet drama, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But, again, it's great to have you here. Thanks so much for coming on by. And, look, we got something delicious for you just waiting at Ike's. Now, I've been telling you that there is a great offer where you can save $49 off of $250 worth of catering just by using code SAVE49 at Ike's, but that's for a big group. Maybe it's just you and someone else tonight. How about this? My man Ike, from now until, what, Sunday, 2 for $25. Two sandwiches for $25. That is the deal of the century right there. Get yourself 2 for $25 at Ike's. It is online only today through Sunday. Use code 2 for $25. 2 for $25. That's all you need to do, and boom, you can be eating something delicious. Make sure you do it at Ike's. Hopefully there's an Ike's near you around your area. Sign up for that Love Rewards program. Start eating your way towards free sandwiches. Absolutely something delicious just waiting for everyone at Ike's. Don't take my word for it, though. Find out for yourself. You'll be very happy that you did. Okay, our friends at the Dubliner, probably getting busy for a big Super Bowl week. The Dubliner West Portal is just out of the chaos of downtown, but you can hop on Muni and you can get there and you will find yourself an oasis to sit down and have a drink, a thought, watch a little game, talk to a neighbor, talk to a person, talk to Kenny or John behind the bar. This is a great bar. I mean, I've been telling you about it for a long time now. I stand on Dubliner West Portal, 10 toes down. Awesome bar. Find out for yourself. I can't wait to bring a friend or two who's popping into town this week for the Super Bowl out to the Dubliner West Portal. And, of course, our friends at Sleeper are very much happy that the big week is here, right? I mean, people lean in to this sporting event like no other sporting event in the world. We'll talk a little bit about all of the pregame and the coverage that we're planning on getting, but there is going to be a ton of action around the game. Make sure your action is happening over at Sleeper. The best prop, odds, payouts, you set it all up yourself. Check it out. An incredible user-friendly interface, and use promo code Damon to get yourself $100 matched up to your first $100 deposit. Click on the link that is right in the top of the description of the video that you are watching right now. It is just that easy. So, of course, we got a little drama where there didn't need to be any around the 49ers. Who's better at making a little drama out of absolutely nothing better than the 49ers? So there is a new 49er documentary coming out soon. I think it's on AMC or something like that. And it is about the glory days. And there have been premiere events popping up in the city and rollout events for this, you know, this documentary, which I'm sure is going to have quite a bit of attention on it. There are warm sepia tone memories all over those 49er teams from 49er fans. And I guess that was the point. I guess that was the point, that your championship memories of the 49ers are just that. They're memories. It has been three decades since the 49ers, 31 years, have won a Super Bowl. And when asked how he would deal with that, Eddie DiBartolo on the red carpet said, "I wouldn't." In other words, if he were still in charge, things would be different. Well, talk about slamming a torpedo just right into the family-run business. My word. I mean, I don't know if he was thinking this is really going to play poorly, but basically what he says is, my sister sucks at this. Her no good husband isn't very good. And my no good nephew isn't very good at this either. And if they're still happening on my watch, we would have won more Super Bowls by now. Well, Eddie, look, all I can tell you is that football is operating in a different universe. It's not another planet. It's not another galaxy. It's not another solar system. It's a different universe from the one that Eddie operated in in the 80s, late 70s, 80s, and early 90s. It is a whole different ball game right now, and the stakes are so much greater. And I know it felt like they were great back then, and they were to a degree, but not like now. This is global conquest is what the NFL is going after now. And so it's there's no doubt that he was a smart enough guy to have figured it out and adapted to the new rules. But like I will get to, if he wanted to have done that, he could have. Eddie tapped out. Don't think he was run out of football. He wasn't. The one thing that, and if this sounds like I'm about to be negative about Eddie DeBartolo, I'm not going to be, but I don't think it's nearly as easy as it was when he was in charge. It's a whole different ballgame now. Now, what he gets full credit for, the one truly impressive thing about Eddie DeBartolo was a sequence of some of the greatest hires and decisions in football history. You know, he did that, and you can't take it away from him. You can't take those trophies away from him. He hired Bill Walsh. They drafted Joe Montana. Like, these things happened on his watch, and he gets credit for them. But if another owner had made those same decisions, you know, would that owner be as revered as Eddie D? Probably not, because what Eddie D was put a human touch on it like no one really in sports kind of ever had. Remember, this is coming out of the blustery owner, George Steinbrenner. Now owners are becoming like celebrities amongst themselves. And you've got your good owners, you got your gruff owners, you got a whole bunch of old school owners who don't say anything. You know, you had your drunk in press conference owners, the Irsays. You had all sorts of just behind the curtain rich guy who never popped out. You had benevolent owners. But what Eddie D did, and his truly most impressive act as an owner, was treat the help right. Now, not only was that the players and his coaches, but Eddie DeBartolo is famous for flying secretaries to Hawaii to celebrate Super Bowls. Not just the secretary, but the secretary, her husband, their kids. Like, this guy would buy out 747s and take everyone who worked with the 49ers to games, to vacations, to celebrations. He really, really put the human touch element of ownership, appreciating everyone he employs in the center of the bullseye that then everyone started shooting at. Like, Eddie D did change ownership in America. There is no real doubt about that. He was that special and that gregarious and good and warm of a guy. But he was also, like any incredibly successful rich person, he was cutthroat. He was looking for his advantages, and he was looking for easy streets. You know, when you have so much success, there's no such thing as I've got enough success. You want more. You want to conquer more. And the scandal that changed the arc of the 49ers, especially if Eddie's saying like, hey, man, I would have still won championships if I were in charge, which I think is a little disingenuous. Eddie DeBartolo paid $400,000 to a former Louisiana governor, Edwin Edwards. He did that to grease the skids to get the rights to gambling boats, river boats, floating casinos. He wanted to be in the casino business in Louisiana. So he bribes the governor, and then the governor becomes part of an investigation. Whereas they're looking at the governor's, what, slush fund or whatever, they see $400,000. Maybe buy a check from Eddie DeBartolo or whatever. Forensic accounting can probably trace anything to anyone. But anyways, they subpoena Eddie DeBartolo. They ask him about it. He doesn't come clean that he made the bribe. And in that act alone, he became a felon because it is a felony charge for failing to report a felony. So in that moment where he was trying to make more money outside of football, just kind of consumed by greed and, you know, a swimming shark of business who always looking to eat more business. You know, this is someone who was dealing with malls. At one point, I believe the DiBartolo family owned more retail square footage in just in terms of square footage than any other family in America. Like, he was the King Kong of malls. And then, you know, in a ripple of the mall's kind of heyday being over, I guess there was a financial problem. So now he's looking to make money in other places, and he does this thing in Louisiana. So the fallout of that was in 1999, Paul Tagliabue, then NFL commissioner, suspended Eddie DiBartolo for the season with strict conditions that effectively kept him from returning to active management. In other words, this isn't just a you can't be in the building suspension. No phone calls, no emails. You are out. You know, whatever the circle and cycle of communication is, you are now out of it, Eddie. Shame, shame. Well, because of that, as a result of that moment, or maybe even feeling like, geez, I don't want to bring this shame upon the San Francisco 49ers, he then turns around and the family dispute that he's having with his sister, he cedes control of the 49ers to his sister, Denise DiBartolo. She's married to Dr. John York, who made a boatload of money, you know, in doctoring and science. And her husband basically show you that not all DiBartolos are made alike, because the decisions that they made did not bring you to Bill Walsh and another Joe Montana and Jerry Rice and George Seifert and Steve Young. It was the opposite. Imagine if you could hire the opposite of all of those guys, if you could draft the opposite of all those guys, and the Niners for a minute there became the Cleveland Browns West. They were awful. They were dreadful. And, you know, now the grooming of Jed begins, and the Yorks are realizing that they are just persona non grata. Nobody likes them. They want to leave this to their kid. And so they do. You know, Jed is born on third base, and they push him closer and closer to home base with every single little internal promotion, with the idea being that you're going to run this someday, kid. By the way, not to bring politics into it, but this felony that was on Eddie DiBartolo, I guess, bothered him so much to where he bought, and that's all you need to do these days, you can buy a presidential pardon from Donald Trump. He bought a presidential pardon for Donald Trump. There's a picture of Eddie DiBartolo shaking hands with Donald Trump in the Oval Office, getting pardoned. So where's he put his money? Despite the scandal, despite all of it, Eddie DiBartolo is still welcome back into the football family of love, specifically the Hall of Fame. In 2016, he's enshrined in the Hall of Fame. And there you go. That is the story of Eddie DiBartolo. Again, he bought the Niners in 1977. He went 2-14 in year one, 6-10 in year two. And then 2 years later in 1979, he hires Bill Walsh, who takes Joe Montana in the third round of the 1979 NFL draft. 2 years later, they're Super Bowl champions. And they'd win four more with a run of excellence in terms of head coach and quarterback that, I mean, honestly, you would have won three of those five Super Bowls. You would have won. I would have won. My mother would have won those Super Bowls. Those teams were so ahead of their time, so talented, had such a schematic advantage on the rest of the league with a West Coast offense, and just truly stellar quarterback play and coaching and just player acquisition. I mean, the Niners made so many good choices. The choices to hire Walsh, draft Montana, elevate Seifert, and then trade for Steve Young, these are among the four greatest choices any NFL team has ever made. How much did Eddie D really have to do with it, though? You know, for him to just say that on my watch, none of this over the last 30 years would have happened, it's a little disingenuous, man. I mean, he doesn't know that, and you don't know that. And you know, your warm, fuzzy memories could say, nah, it would have been different. I don't know that. You know, if he doesn't hire Jim Tomsula, you know, there you go. That, you know, that would have been a good move. I don't know if I would have done that or even if you would have done that. Jed did that. Everyone involved with the 49ers ate for decades, drank free for decades over the decisions of Walsh to Seifert, Montana to Young. Now, this is where I'm calling a little bullshit on Eddie. Because if he wanted to do this, if his heart lay with the 49ers in a way that just had, he did not have to sell the team. Do you know that? He did not have to give it to his sister. He could have come back after his suspension, but a shark's got to swim, and he thought that there would be more blood in the water in other businesses than coming back to being an NFL owner. So he tapped out. He cashed out. You can't say you were thrown out of the casino when you walk over to the cage and cash out your chips yourself. You were not thrown out of the casino. No pun intended. There's a quote right on his Wikipedia page where he admits, he says, truthfully, the team really wasn't taken away from me. I think it's been a misnomer for many years. Commissioner Tagliabue did obviously suspend me, but as I was going through negotiations with my family, and we went through these negotiations, we even went through them with lawyers and obviously a judge in Akron, Ohio, it did not come down to the team being taken. It came down to a decision that had to be made whether or not I wanted the 49ers or whether or not I wanted to take the other part of the company. So that was more important to you. That became more important to you than winning Super Bowls, Eddie. It did. I'm going to go be a rich guy owning shopping malls and other investments than this. You know, if he wanted this day to have never have sold to the Yorks are not involved. Jed is an intern, you know, who knows what Jed is at this point? If the Yorks do not get involved, do you think his nephew would have been given the control of the team? I don't know. Eddie did for Eddie to blame 30 years of futility on his less than family. When he's the one who brought his less than family to the forefront, that to me is disingenuous. Wouldn't have happened on my watch. Dude, it did, because you gave away the watch. You gave it away. You didn't have to. Eddie DeBartolo today could still be the owner of the San Francisco 49ers. By the way, if he was, I doubt they'd be playing in Levi's Stadium. I'll give him that much. Sip of the day, everybody, right there. That's a good one. So it's just a little disingenuous to me to come so strong and hard down your own family's chimney when you're the reason why the family is in control of it in the first place. You know, you pass the baton. Don't claim, don't talk about how great you would have done with the baton when you did not have to pass it. Yeah, everything went downhill after the Louisiana thing. Really, really weird. And it's so funny that the whole 49ers staying in San Francisco was attached to a shopping mall around Candlestick Point. And everyone was, you know, Mayor Willie Brown wanted that. And everyone was like, no, that can't happen. No one's going to want a shopping mall. Now all of its, you know, mixed use facilities around. He probably had a vision for the future there that they should have hopped on. Chudley says it was a settlement. He had to agree to it. No, he didn't. He's saying the team wasn't really taken away from me. It's a misnomer. They talked about it with, you know, it was a settlement that his family wanted. Denise wanted it. So, Joe Schmo, he'd have kept Mooch lately. He probably would have kept Mariucci. Just Ronnie Lott getting a shout out. Why not? Look at all these comments, man. I can tell I tapped a vein here today. We got some serious memories coming out here. Get some serious, serious memories flowing. Too Much Sauce says, can the 49ers go 15-2 next year? It's a little bit too early to be predicting any of that. Let's just see if they can get through training camp healthy without any major electrical substation injuries, shall we? Good God. Yeah, at the time it was reported he had to sell. Well, some revisionist history is either being applied here, but man, it doesn't sound like it. By the way, speaking of Niner ownership and what officially does feel like years ago, you want to see two young men with hopeful futures in front of them? You want to see two young guys who thought that they were going to be riding hand in hand through championships on a flagship radio station together? Look at this. Little old me. By the way, I still think I have that sports coat. This is little old me and little old Jed York. 13 years ago today, in New Orleans. This was Niners Ravens Super Bowl in New Orleans. Look at that. Look at the youthful enthusiasm in both of these men. Look at these guys. The future is bright. They're both at their first Super Bowls, thinking good things are about to happen. There's no way. No way. Now Carl asks, didn't Jed block you? Yeah, Jed and I became, I guess, less friendly when I basically walked out of Levi's Stadium on opening night saying, oh my God, this building sucks. He unfollowed me that evening. It's funny. When I was going through some rough times in radio, Jed reached out. Jed and I were cool for a while, man. We really, really were. Look at those young men. Look at the future. Oh my God. They had no idea what was coming, did they? By the way, my other favorite picture from that Super Bowl. Do you remember during the Harbaugh era there was like a surfer bro ball boy? Remember this guy? Remember this guy? I love this guy. I can't remember. Was his name Ronnie or Bobby or something like that? I cannot remember. But do you remember this Cochise right here? Oh my God, I love this dude. The cameras love this dude. They would cut away to him during games, especially on Fox. They always found the groovy looking surfer dude ball boy. I love that guy. He was so cool. We bumped into each other on Bourbon Street a couple times. There is no Super Bowl like your first. And let me tell you, having been to that Super Bowl and knowing what a great Super Bowl and a great Super Bowl city is, San Francisco is just not it. The Super Bowl is coming here, but it is just, it's going to suck compared to if it were in New Orleans or if it were in Las Vegas. It really is. By the way, NBC is preparing a five-hour-long pregame show. That's a lot of pregame. I won't watch a single minute of that crap. NBC is also planning on miking up friends and family of Seahawks and Patriots players. That could be some good cutaway entertainment. Just mic up some angry brother of a player who is pissed off the way he's being used today. That's what I want to see make this year. I can't believe my man isn't getting more reps today. It's a Super Bowl. Let's do that. Go ahead. Give me an angry sibling. The fatal flaw in this upcoming Super Bowl is that it's just spread out everywhere. So media is around Media Row, Radio Row. That's where most media congregates. So that is going to be Moscone West in downtown San Francisco. So the very first day you come in as a media member, that Monday, you want to set up on Media Row, and then you're going to say, okay, so where is the opening night celebration? When we do the, the NFL opening night interviews and all of that stuff, where's that going to be? It's got to be at Chase Center, right? Wrong. It's in San Jose. So you're going to land in San Francisco's airport. You are going to get to your hotel room in downtown San Francisco. Then you're going to go to Moscone Center. Then you got to go down to San Jose and go to the Shark Tank for that opening night thing, which, by the way, is the biggest douchebag convention there. I'm not going. I am not going to NFL opening night media ever. The one that I did where I got this picture with me and my best friend, Jed, this opening night in New Orleans was at the stadium. It was cool to walk around the stadium, and here we are. This is where they're going to play the Super Bowl. They're going to be doing it at SAP Pavilion, which sucks. I'm not saying the building sucks, but just doing it down there sucks. Trying to spread this around the Bay Area. It's like, what are you going to do? Like a media event out in Walnut Creek just so the East Bay feels involved? Like that's, they're not, by the way, but that's just an example of how stupid it is. Why it's not at Chase Center, I do not know. Why? Why is it not at Chase Center? So coaches will be doing their coach interviews throughout the week from the Santa Clara Marriott. So if you're up on Radio Row and then want to go to that coach interview, you got to drive an hour and 15 minutes south to get a 30-second soundbite from a coach and then what? Come all the way back? And then the game day traffic itself is going to be an absolute fucking nightmare. I mean, it's just the worst setup imaginable. Let's take a Super Bowl and spread it all around a hard Bay Area rush hour commute. I can't believe San Francisco got another Super Bowl after everyone complained, and rightfully so, about how bad it was at Super Bowl 50. But they got it again. Couple more supers in here. Bill says, does Jed want you to apologize? Would you? Would I apologize for saying that Levi Stadium stinks? Look at it this way. We could certainly talk about it, but I don't have anything to apologize for because have you seen the stadiums being built around the NFL and how much more superior they are to Levi Stadium, for God's sakes? The 49ers should play in nothing other than the greatest football, most futuristic football stadium ever conceived of. They do not. They play in Stanford Stadium on steroids. So, no, I don't think I would apologize. Why would I have to apologize for my opinion? It's my opinion. Now, he could turn around, show me his bank account and say it's really working out well for us and we're hosting another Super Bowl, so we're doing something right. And I'd have to say, you're right. Obviously, this is working on levels that I do not appreciate, but I wish you could appreciate the level that I wanted it to work on. Like, namely, in San Francisco. Let's start with that alone. I wish the Yorks would have spent half of what it cost to build Levi Stadium to renovate Candlestick instead. Then there was no renovating Candlestick. That was a teardown. But what they could have done is they could have played a season. They could have shared maybe the stadium with the Raiders. They could have played in Berkeley, maybe. played at Memorial Stadium. They could have played at Stanford Stadium. There were options that I believe would have been able to make that right. It would have been, how about going back to Kezar for an intimate, like 30,000 seat stadium just for a cool season? That would have been fucking dope. Another logistical nightmare, but in a year, that would have been pretty cool. So, you know, here's the thing. I have seen Jed since that picture. We are always friendly to each other. Jed and I have never exchanged a terse word. I never even asked him why he unfollowed me. That's kind of a bitch question. Why'd you unfollow me? What am I, a teenager? I don't care. But I could be, and the reason why I wouldn't ask too is because I know why. Because I know why. Again, there, you know, people don't want to be told things that are in completely diametrically opposed to what you believe in. I mean, I begrudge nothing. Could have played at Oracle Park, maybe. The Giants flirted with the Raiders to play. Yeah, absolutely. Could have maybe done that. I just remember, like, the year that Levi Stadium opened, a woman who spent an awful lot of money on her 49ers season tickets came up to me at the Guardsman Tree Lot, and she's like, oh, by the way, I love you. I love your show. And let me just tell you right now, I would pay twice what I am paying at Levi Stadium right now to move back to Candlestick. She said, take your amenities, get me back to that dump. That felt like home. This feels like a Walmart. And look, this isn't me ragging on the stadium. This is what people told me. So it's just, it's the gift that keeps on giving. But how about Eddie DeBartolo basically saying, yeah, my sister, her husband, and my nephew suck at this. Suck at this. That's what he said when he says this wouldn't happen on my watch. I don't believe him necessarily, but for him to just, again, firing missiles directly into the family PT Cruiser is something else. By the way, speaking of Media Row, I will be there all next week. I will be there all next week. We will be bringing you shows from there, videos from there. I will try to bring you behind the curtains as much as possible next week. I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm going to be doing my shows in conjunction with ShowUs.TV. ShowUs.TV is the partnership that I've made with when I did the announcement of the young man saying where he was going to college. Some call-in shows where you can reserve a place and come in and interact. So you can call into the show via video chat and we'll be hanging out together. That's going to be happening throughout the entire week. We are going to have some fabulous guests on and you'll be able to interact with those guests as well. So I will be on Twitter and on the YouTube posts in the community portion where I post some stuff sometimes. I will be giving you all the links that you need to come and join me next week virtually on Radio Row. So let's have some fun together. There will be some interesting things going on, I think. So I hope you plan on being a part of it. Meanwhile, what else have we got today? Kind of what I told you on Monday, right? Little Raiders news, or at least innuendo, is in the air today. Jeremy Fowler says that the Raiders plan to interview Clint Kubiak over the weekend, and it is now Seattle's offensive coordinator's job to lose. You know, it's basically, as I said on Monday, if you watch the NFC Championship game, if you listened to the NFC Championship game, you could basically hear Tom Brady hiring that guy live on TV. He was glowing about the play calls, about the offense, about the balance. He was glowing. Tom Brady was gushing. Awful announcing even went with a headline that says Tom Brady tongue bathes Clint Kubiak for 4 hours during the NFC Championship game. I really mean it. I bet you that before Tom Brady left that stadium, he found Clint Kubiak, pulled him into a corner where only the two of them could talk, and he probably said, "We are going to fucking hire you, man. It's going to happen. You're my guy. So don't make any rash decisions until we talk again. Capiche?" Don't tell me Tom Brady wouldn't bend the rules a little. Bring back the stick, Joe. Why wouldn't they construct a symmetrical stadiums beyond me? It's like they tried to. What I don't understand is why they wouldn't put some shade over the crowd and a little bit of an overhang, which allowed the sound to bounce back down to the field and not have two corners where all the noise escaped to. It's like literally the Seahawks gave you a blueprint. This is the right way to do it. And they did the opposite of that. Again, they went from having the fourth best stadium in the division to having the fourth best stadium in the division. Chat's going wild today. All right, Pete Cougar. D. Bruce, not even Brady can save the relocators. I'm telling you, man, here's the most frustrating thing about the Raiders. And maybe this does come down to meddlesome ownership. I think the Raiders are just this sleeping giant that could be awakened with the right owner, the right coach, the right... I mean, they have an unbelievable setup in Henderson, Nevada, their headquarters, their practice facilities, that stadium. You know, even though it's always going to be tough to have a home crowd in there because it's everybody's ultimate dude bro vacation, going to watch your NFL team in Vegas, there is the Raiders are just this ripe opportunity. And honestly, all they need to do is draft my guy, Fernando Mendoza, and I am going to be pulling for them to finally get their shit together for real. And I am going to be watchdogging them to make sure that it does happen. I mean, I really, really think that the Raiders are just a juicy opportunity. Juicy. For the right people involved. Now, can they ever get the right people involved? They will have certainly the right mindset and a quarterback who's just an unbelievable person and leader. So, let's see what else is going on out there. Here we go. Today, the Warriors news is this. They might trade for Giannis. Ooh, Giannis? Really? They might trade for Giannis? Giannis? Antetokounmpo? That Giannis? Ooh. You know what? I freaking dare you. If you can actually put the package together that beats out every other trade proposal that the Milwaukee Bucks are going to get, do it. Trade for Giannis. Do it. Don't think that that one move is going to bring you back into contention, because it won't. You're just trading today's problems for tomorrow's problems. But Giannis and Curry, and I'm guessing Draymond would remain. All right, put a little something around that, see what you got. It'd be more interesting than what we're watching. Go ahead, do it. I would suggest to do that. If you can, you should. How much does it change things? A little, not a lot. But I would do it. I would absolutely do it. However, I saw a video, I think it was from Jason Tempf, who is an NBA guy, works for The Volume. And he basically did a video saying that LeBron to the Warriors for a first-round draft pick, Will Richards, and Jimmy Butler's contract. Who says no? It better be the Warriors saying no to that. Who says no? The Warriors better say no. The last thing the Warriors need to do is get as old as LeBron James right now. If they were going to make a swing for LeBron James, it should have happened 3 years ago. It is officially too late to get into the LeBron James business. Officially. And even though he still puts up a decent stat line, there is, you know, you got to have something other than a present. You got to have a little bit of a future, because the present of this Warriors team is not going to be a champion. You add LeBron, it's not going to be a champion. It's just no. One more time. No. Giannis, yeah, if you can, go ahead, do that. LeBron, who says no? Any smart Warrior fan would say no. I hope Joe Lacob would say no. I'd hope at this point in his career, Steph Curry would even say no. That's no. Come on, really? By the way, instead of worrying about the NBA, instead of worrying about the Yorks, instead of worrying about the Super Bowl, let me just give you something that'll make you smile. I talked about this at the end of yesterday's show. I want to talk about it again because Supermensch, the Marty Lurie story is now on Amazon Prime. If you are a Giants fan, you should watch this. You will love it. It's wonderful about Marty. If you love Marty, spend the $2.99, rent this movie on Amazon Prime. You will absolutely love it. And if you're looking for reasons to love baseball, Marty is great at giving you reasons to do it. Even as your team is frustrating or stuck in the middle, like the Giants seem to be, you got to love it. You got to love baseball. Somebody asked yesterday, is it okay to be excited about the Giants? Yes! Yes, yes. Always be excited that baseball season's coming. You know, I know that we've said a lot of negative things about baseball over the years, and it's earned them all. It really has. But I do love baseball in so many romantic ways still in my life. I do. Like, I can't wait to bring my boys to baseball games this summer. I love it. And just in terms of you got to love baseball, you got to love this. I saw this today. So the Giants and the Doyers. The Giants and Dodgers have played 2,576 regular season games against each other. Here's the record, head up. I don't know how there's 17 ties in there. How is that? But look at that. 2,576 games. And it is 1,288 up, 1,288 down. You gotta love baseball. You've got to love baseball. Seriously, look at that. Blood feud level rivals. And look at that. Again, the sport can get romantic every now and then. It really can. And there you go. There's a little romance for you. Again, you want a little romance? Get yourself two sandwiches. Don't give them to the person you love. Eat them both. You'll be happy that you did. 2 for $25 right now. Use promo code 2 for $25 when you are getting your Ikes. I will be doing a show with Larry Krueger, Wake Up, on Friday morning. And then I am off to Tahoe for the weekend with the kids. And then coming up on Monday, we'll see you from Radio Row on showus.tv, which will be right here on my channel. You're not going to have to go anywhere new to watch me, but it'll be produced through showus.tv. It'll have some bells and whistles on it. I ordered a big pull-up Damon Bruce show thing with the Godzilla logo on it. And I'm really looking forward to hanging out on Radio Row. I know a lot of friends. I know a lot of people in that business. So hopefully plenty of them will stop on by and hang out with us. One more note. Tonight, it's officially Macklin Celebrini versus Connor McDavid. Go Sharks! This is a big, big road trip that the Sharks are on right now before the NHL wraps up ahead of the Olympics. So if you're going to put a little separation between you and your opponents, Looking good on this road trip is what the Sharks want to continue to do. Go Sharks! We got ourselves Macklin Celebrini versus Connor McDavid. That is as sexy a hockey matchup as you will get in the sport of hockey right now. So I'll be leaning into that tonight. I want you to enjoy it as well. All right, today in history. We got some history to talk about here today. As always, we start with our birthdays. Happy birthday to the man with the mustache, Tom Selleck, 81 years old. What a glorious mustache. What a handsome man Tom Selleck has always been. Magnum PI, the show was not afraid to break the fourth wall. Magnum would look in the camera every now and then. It was funny. I loved it. Magnum PI was a great show. Speaking of iconic TV presences, happy 72nd birthday to Oprah. Oprah Winfrey, 72 years old today. Edward Burns. He's like a actor, director guy. He did the 30 for 30 on Wayne Gretzky going to the Kings. He did the 30 for 30 on the New York Islanders dynasty. He's a big hockey guy. Edward Burns turns 58 years old today. I said this to Jillian this morning. It was Jillian's birthday yesterday. Today, one of her favorite Halloween costumes of all time is Jillian dressed up like Roller Girl. And she went roller skating in the Castro when the Castro used to be famous for its Halloween street parties. That night, she had so much fun that she fell down and broke her wrist like at a radial break. And she has, on Jillian and I's first date, I couldn't help but notice on one of her wrists, she had the cry for help scar. Like, no, this is the cry for help scar. One that goes like that. She had this one, which means I really tried to off myself scar. And I was like, uh-oh, we got a crying on the inside candidate here? What's going on? That was the wrist surgery that she had from when she broke her wrist as Roller Girl in the Castro on Halloween. So I was glad to hear that it was a Roller Girl scar, not a I'm sad inside scar. Anyways, I tell you all that to tell you that the Roller Girl herself, Heather Graham, is 56 years old. Heather Graham. A very, very good turn in The Spy Who Shagged Me, if you don't mind me saying. Heather Graham is now 56 years old. And Sarah Gilbert, who was so good on the old Roseanne show as the daughter, 51 years old. Sarah Gilbert. There you go. What is this? Hold on. Oprah, 72. By the way, Chef A, is it? No, it's not your birthday, though, Chef A. No, it's not Chef A's birthday, but she's Oprah and I both. Chef A, you're 72. God bless you, Chef A. You look great for 72, girl. Wait until you see 72-year-old Damon Bruce. We'll see if I even make it to 72. Jeez. It won't be pretty. Again, this was all supposed to be on the radio. Sorry, you have to look at it. Okay, so there's your birthdays. Tom Selleck, Oprah, Edward Burns, Heather Graham, Sarah Gilbert. Happy birthday to everyone involved. Happy birthday to the Raven. On this day in 1845, Edgar Allan Poe's melancholy poem about a narrator's slow descent into madness was officially published for the first time in public. And I guess, you know, there wasn't a lot to do in Baltimore back then because it became a hit. It became a hit. Has anything been produced out of Baltimore since 1845 in The Raven? I don't know. I like Ryan Sickler. He's from Baltimore. He's a very funny comedian. So, quote the Raven, nevermore. There you go. Oh, speaking of happy birthday. Oh, Kansas, you're looking really good today. 1861 today, Kansas became the 34th state in these United States. Today in 1886, Carl Benz patented the first practical automobile powered by an internal combustion engine. His name was Carl Benz, as in Mercedes-Benz. So there you go. Smart guy back then in 1886. Today in 1936, Babe Ruth and Ty Cobb were among the first players elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, the very first Hall of Fame class elected today in 1936. Hey, somebody wake that chick up. Today in 1959, Walt Disney's Sleeping Beauty was officially released. Hey, wake up. A much better film, though, in my opinion. And one of the truly great films of all time. And a film that today carries as much, geez, that's making salient points that apply to today. Today, in 1964, Dr. Strangelove, which is also known as How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Bomb. This is a landmark movie directed by Stanley Kubrick. It was released in theaters today, Dr. Strangelove, with just one of the all-time great movies. It truly is. So many great, great performances. Peter Sellers is Dr. Strangelove. It's just incredible. How about this? You want to talk about, man, they partied their ass off tonight. Tonight in 1967, the Mantra Rock Dance, also known as the Ultimate High, took place in San Francisco. And playing that night, Janis Joplin, the Grateful Dead, Allen Ginsberg was there, probably telling everybody about the poem Howl. But they were all tripping their nuts off. Tripping their balls off. The Ultimate High in 67. Janis Joplin, the Grateful Dead were there. Yeah, there was a good time had tonight in San Francisco in 1967. Finally, we fast forward to today in 2015, where Malaysia officially declared the disappearance of that missing Malaysia Airlines flight as an accident, and its passengers and crews were presumed dead. You didn't have to tell us, you know, when an airplane disappears over an ocean to never be seen again, for the most part, we're not thinking like empire level tractor beam suck them into a star destroyer. Like we didn't really think that was the case. I think everybody pretty much was like, probably crashed. So today they admit, yeah, I guess it did. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for letting us all know what we presumed the minute we heard the damn story. Thank you. And on that note, that is today's show. I love to end with the Malaysian airline disaster. Sorry, but that's the biggest day in history that's closest to our time in history, I guess. But yeah, today in 2013, it was the beginning of Super Bowl week when the Niners went to New Orleans and lost to the Ravens. Had they won that game, had Jim Harbaugh not decided to throw all those fades to Crabtree, had Jimmy Garoppolo connected on a pass and then Richard Sherman not get burnt, had Nick Bosa made a tackle in Las Vegas of Patrick Mahomes, there would be no, oh, I would never have gone 31 years without winning a Super Bowl from Eddie DeBartolo. But that's how slim the margin of error is in the most competitive league in the world. And that's kind of why we love Super Bowls. And that's kind of why we love football, because it promises us greatness, rarely delivers it, and it breaks our freaking heart all the time. Unless, of course, you went to Indiana University, in which case you just had the best football season ever. So thanks for that. I appreciate all of you being here. Please hit like and subscribe on your way out. It was a pleasure. We'll see you for Wake Up with yours truly and Kruger on Friday morning, 9 a.m. live West Coast time. And then we will be at it on Radio Row, Media Row from Moscone Center in downtown San Francisco all next week. And we look forward to having you for that. So thank you so much for stopping on by today. And please do remember that sports don't build character. They reveal it. And like that, he's gone.